Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles. Welcome back, everybody. Today for the Canna Business Chronicles, we're going to turn things over to the world of industrial hemp, where one of the leading experts in the field, Courtney Moran, an attorney from my home city of Portland, Oregon, addressed the Normal Aspen legal seminar here yesterday and gave us some details about the federal laws on hemp.
In Monson versus DEA, 8th Circuit 2009, the 8th Circuit concluded, under the CSA, marijuana is defined as all cannabis sativa, regardless of the THC concentration. The CSA likewise makes no distinction between cannabis grown for drug use and for industrial use. They also noted that the CSA unambiguously bans the cultivation of marijuana regardless of its use. And in footnote 4, the court noted, which I pointed out to you in that definition before, the statutory definition of marijuana excludes certain parts of the plant cannabis sativa L, not relevant to this discussion. The court further stated, we find no evidence that Congress intended otherwise than to ban the growth of all C sativa, absent compliance with the federal registration requirement. They confirmed the conclusions of the district court and noted that industrial hemp, as defined by the North Dakota statute, is marijuana. So the courts have been consistent in upholding DEA's interpretation of the definition of marijuana under the Controlled Substances Act to say that it includes all C sativa, does not matter what the THC concentration is, does not matter what the use is. Marijuana, industrial hemp, all C sativa, all cultivation is prohibitive absent that federal registration requirement. Now, this has slightly changed in 2014, which we will get to. The other landmark case for industrial hemp is Hemp Industries versus DEA. Now, in 2001, the DEA issued an interpretive rule which stated that all products containing any amount of THC are Schedule 1 controlled substances. So the manufacturers and distributors that sell industrial hemp products, especially hemp seed, hemp oil, and hemp seed oil cake, appealed this regulation, because this regulation would have banned the possession and the sale of any of the products that they had been selling for years. So they filed a suit in the Ninth Circuit, but the Ninth Circuit abstained from considering the merits of the case because DEA had issued only an interpretive rule and not a final rule. But they did conclude that THC naturally occurring with non-psychoactive hemp products did not fall within the DEA's regulation. Then in 2003, the DEA did finally issue final rules, which exempted from control non-psychoactive hemp products that contain trace amounts of THC that are not intended for human consumption. So all of these retailers and manufacturers, if any of their products were, you know, hemp foods, for example, still prohibited. So still an issue with any hemp products intended for human consumption. So once DEA had issued these final rules, the Ninth Circuit considered the merits of the case. The Ninth Circuit concluded, under the Chevron standards, Congress did not regulate non-psychoactive industrial hemp in Schedule 1. The Ninth Circuit looked to whether the DEA's followed appropriate procedures in trying to classify non-psychoactive industrial hemp products as a controlled substance, and they held that the DEA's action is not a mere classification of industrial hemp, or of THC, excuse me, regulations. It improperly renders naturally occurring non-psychoactive hemp illegal for the first time. The Ninth Circuit concluded DEA cannot regulate naturally occurring THC not contained within or derived from marijuana. Non-psychoactive hemp products, because non-psychoactive hemp is not included in Schedule 1. DEA did not appeal this decision to the Supreme Court. So HIA versus DEA, the 2004 case, Hemp 2, confirmed the legality of industrial hemp products, even for products intended for human consumption. So we do not have a split between the circuits. First and Eighth Circuits say industrial hemp cultivation is illegal absent the federal registration. The Ninth Circuit says industrial hemp products are legal. They didn't even touch on the cultivation issue. So any hemp products that you can find in any store, those are all legal products. They always have been. This case confirmed that. It's the cultivation that is the issue. Now, despite these rulings in the First and Eighth Circuit, states started to legalize hemp in 1999 after, in 1998, Canada legalized full commercial cultivation. Now, North Dakota is right on the border of Canada. There are farmers in northern North Dakota that saw, hey, half a mile away from me, there are farmers growing industrial hemp. They are making economic profits from this crop. Why can't I grow this? So seeing that economic potential in 1999, North Dakota became the first state to re-legalize industrial hemp. 2002, Montana, West Virginia. 2008, Vermont. 2009, Maine and Oregon. 2012, Colorado. 2013, Kentucky and California. But this is only nine states over 14 years. Now, in August of 2013, the Department of Justice issued the Cole Memo outlining the aid enforcement priorities in regards to marijuana in response to Washington and Colorado legalizing adult use marijuana. Congressman Blumenauer in Oregon, he has been a champion for all cannabis federally and in the state of Oregon, and he wrote a letter to the Oregon Department of Justice saying, well, shouldn't this Cole Memo apply to industrial hemp if DEA considers the definition of marijuana to say all cannabis sativa? So U.S. Attorney Amanda Marshall responded, since industrial hemp is marijuana under the CSA, these eight enforcement priorities do apply to industrial hemp just as they do for all forms of cannabis. Federal prosecutors will remain aggressive when it comes to protecting these eight priorities. So in Oregon specifically, this really did help move our program along. We had legalized back in 2009, and it wasn't until after the issuance of this memo that the Department of Agriculture began putting together a Rules Advisory Committee. A year later, we finally had licenses in place, and we were able to cultivate last year. Then the Agricultural Act of 2014 came into play. And in the Farm Bill, there is a provision outlining industrial hemp research. So since February 7th of 2014, when President Obama signed into law the Agricultural Act of 2014, we have been able to conduct research of industrial hemp. So the provisions of the Farm Bill provide that state departments of agriculture and institutions of higher education are authorized to conduct industrial hemp research and agricultural pilot programs for industrial hemp research, including market research. What Congress also did, which is very important, is they defined industrial hemp. And this is the first time industrial hemp has been defined in federal law. And again, as I mentioned this earlier, it's defined as this arbitrary 0.3% THC concentration, but at least we're getting somewhere. In response, since February of 2014, 18 states have legalized some form of industrial hemp cultivation. You'll see I have listed on here, some states have legalized only research as is compliant with the Agricultural Act of 2014, but some states have legalized full commercial cultivation. And this is really significant. There's so much media attention around marijuana adult use legalization. Four states have legalized, DC has legalized, but in 2 years, 18 states have legalized industrial hemp cultivation. Where's the media attention around that? Now, pursuant to the provisions in the Agricultural Act of 2014, there are at least 20 universities that are engaging in industrial hemp research. There are likely more. However, these universities still have to comply with the DEA registration requirement. So all of these universities, if they are planning to import viable hemp seeds, they have had to go through the DEA registration process, go through the import procedure process, which takes a very long time. DEA, has been hesitant, but has granted these licenses or these registrations. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar, back in 2014, Kentucky tried to implement their industrial hemp research program. They purchased seeds for their farmers from Italy. They had the seeds imported at the border. DEA seized the seeds. Customs held on to them. A lawsuit was filed. After some negotiations, they were finally able to get the seeds back and were able to plant. But DEA is trying to seize control over industrial hemp, any aspect that they can, despite the allowance that has been granted in the Agricultural Act. Now, Congress while they have not enacted the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, it is a bill that has been put before Congress 6 different times. It is a companion bill right now going through the U.S. legislature, unlikely to actually gain any traction. However, to protect the provisions that they put in place in the Agricultural Act, they started putting in protections in the appropriations bills, similar to what they have done for medical marijuana in the last two appropriations bills. So in the 2015 Consolidated and Further Continuing Appropriations Act, they put in Section 539, which prohibits any funds from DEA or DOJ to be used in contravention of Section 7606, which is that research provision. In 2016, they enacted a similar rider in that provision, but they also put in an additional rider, which is very helpful for any farmers that are or processors trying to engage in market research, which is authorized under the Farm Bill. So Section 763 removes any federal funding from any federal agency that interferes with the research provisions under the Agricultural Act, but also any funds that would be used to prohibit the transportation, processing, sale, or use of industrial hemp that is grown or cultivated in compliance with the Farm Bill, but within or outside the state. So as we already discussed, hemp products are legal. The issue is the cultivation. But this allows very clearly for transportation across state lines. Okay, it doesn't allow it. It removes any funding from agencies to interfere with that transportation, which is very significant. So this is going to be coming into play this summer and this upcoming fall when farmers that are going to be harvesting their plants want to send their crops across state.
Courtney Moran there speaking on industrial hemp, and we'll have her full presentation as well as the presentations of other presenters at the Aspen Normal Legal Seminar available on my SoundCloud page sometime next week when I get the time to upload them. But that's all the time I got for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up next. We've got Danica Noble talking about Washington State market caps, plus a little dig at Mark Kleiman. That always makes me smile. Then we'll hear from Adam Wolf on the Safe Streets Alliance case to try to undermine Colorado's marijuana laws in federal court. We'll wind things up with Mary Kahn discussing mental illness in America. For everyone here at the Gantt Resort, Normal, and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.